Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been a part of teams that started off hot and fizzled out. And I've been a part of teams that, you know, kind of figured it out in the beginning. This team is just no different. Like, I've been on some teams where though they were competitive and we kind of figured it out. It took some time, but we figured it out. So I kind of credit to just, you know, having that experience. That's why I said these losses, we come with valuable lessons. Like, we were in all those games. We were competitive, and we could easily be sitting at 3-0. We're not, you know what I'm saying, granted, but that gives us a lot to look forward to, a lot to work on. I feel like we can learn from these losses that will help us later on in the year. I'm saying, like, if some of these things don't get addressed early, you can kind of fall into the trap of it happen again.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You got WEEI afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. They'll talk to Tom E. Curran today at 3:30.
All right.
Let me get some answers about Robert Kraft and what he's selling, what he's getting back, why isn't Brady involved, et cetera, et cetera. We've discussed that at length today. If you're just tuning in, Robert Kraft deciding to sell 8% of the Patriots, not to Tom Brady, 5% to Dean Metropoulos, and another 3% to Sixth Street, which also owns a portion of the Celtics. By the way, Bill Chisholm, speaking of the Celtics, will be introduced today.
How about that?
As the owner of the Celtics, which is just weird.
Busy day.
Very busy day. And I want to hear what comes out of that. I want to hear how much he's, like, all business terp back there.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Make sure you're peppering the crap out of this guy selling off every, especially with Tatum coming back. Tatum's like, I got a home date circled in mind. I'm coming back.
Circle the date.
And as you've been pointing out all week, Keith, since he did his media tour, you sold off half the team. Why'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Save a few bucks. Tatum's coming back. You could compete. But apparently they don't want to. So maybe we'll get some good answers out of Bill Chisholm later on today from all business terp and the rest of the crew down there. But I want to get into that comment from Steph Diggs. We got to learn how to win. We're 3 weeks in. It's a young team. Mike Vrabel just got here. Is that an acceptable way to brush aside some of the losses? As he said, they could be 3-0.
Yeah, I don't love that.
They could also be 0-3.
Yeah.
But he's choosing to look at it glass half full. We're young. We got to learn how to win. He actually referenced that Mike McDaniel comment from a couple of weeks ago. Remember when McDaniel
said, it's one day closer to death?
Yeah.
That one?
No. No, sorry, not that one.
That was the Mike McDaniel
one
I remember.
No, the one where he's like, to win, you got to not lose, or whatever it was.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
He referenced that.
Very
deep. He's like, I understood exactly what he was saying. He's I know people cooked him for it, but I understand exactly what he was saying.
I think right now it's
acceptable.
Okay.
I don't think it's acceptable.
Acceptable is maybe too strong.
I would say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse.
I think it's okay.
You're right. When I say the Mike McDaniel comment, there are actually quite a few. You're
but
right.
I do think there's really not a scenario where you could say something like that if you lose this weekend. If you're 1-3 with a loss to the Panthers, then I rule out any
three home games.
All
three losses would be at home against
three non-playoff teams.
Not good teams.
Yeah, they're all like average to bad. And so that's why I think right now I don't love that. I never love when a team is 1-2 and they say they could be 3-0, regardless of the sport. You're like, well, you're not, and you lost those games.
Yeah,
I get him trying to stay positive.
Mike Vrabel yesterday was talking about all the winning snaps. Don't forget about the winning snaps we've had. It's like, you guys are 1-2.
You lost to the Steelers and the Raiders, and this isn't the 70s. Like, these teams aren't that good. So, no, that's frustrating. It would be the most frustrating, and it would be unacceptable if they do it after a Panthers game. They're 5.5-point favorites. They might not even have their best receiver. Bryce Young kind of stinks. Their defense stinks. It's a bad Carolina Panthers team. So if you lose to them, there's none of this talk. And, yeah, I'm not going to get them in trouble for saying that because they haven't done that yet. They got to win this game. But if you're 2-2 after four, following back-to-back four-win seasons. All right, I'll take it.
I thought they'd be 3-1. Yeah. I believe you also thought they'd be 3-1.
I did.
If they win Carolina, it'll be the first game going into it that we got right, at least in my preseason view on it. I thought they'd beat the Raiders, lose in Miami, beat Pittsburgh. Once they lost
the
Raiders... the
games are all wrong, but we're all around it.
Honestly, this will be the fourth straight week I actually pick them week by week when they go against Carolina. But the reason I don't find that to be a satisfactory excuse... And look, you're in the locker room. You're trying to project, just like I'm sure Vrabel is, positivity. Let's not let it get away from us. Let's not let it snowball. We know the Bills are next week. This is a big game. We can't afford to lose this one. So let's be positive about it and try to spin it positive. I do understand that. And if that's what they're trying to do, fine. That's what they're trying to do. But they also spent a crap ton of money this offseason. They have an easy schedule. Just about all their games so far have been at home. They haven't won at home yet. And even if they are a young roster with a second-year quarterback and a first-year head coach, I don't think that's satisfactory to just say, well, we have a youthful team and there's not a lot of experience and, well, you got to chalk it up to learning how to win. I don't find that to be acceptable. If they go 10-7 at the end of the year, I'll go back and say, you know what? They were right. They did have to learn how to win, and they did as the year went along. But in real time, I frankly don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I think it's tough because Mike Vrabel shouldn't be learning how to win. Neither should Josh McDaniels. Neither should Steph Diggs,
right.
Milton Williams,
Ben Johnson,
won a Super Bowl.
In Chicago, first year as a head coach.
Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams combo has very few combined wins.
Vrabel's supposed to be a guy who knows how to win, comes in ready. That's the whole idea. He's ready-made head coach. He's not a first-time head coach.
Mayo last year with Drake May, there was definitely they need to learn how to win because they've never done it yet.
Yes.
And even though they got rid of a lot of their veteran guys, a lot of their veteran guys hadn't won. So you brought in a guy that just won a Super Bowl. You brought in veterans like Harold Landry and Robert Spillane and Steph Diggs himself, Morgan Moses. These guys have had a lot of NFL experience. Some with more wins than others, but still they've been in the league a long time. They've been to the playoffs and things like that. So I don't know. It's frustrating given the level of opponent, and it's one of the reasons why I thought the team would have a good record this year is because they play so many games against teams that are right there in the middle. So you can't lose too many of them, or then you're right back to where you were last year. You know, that's what happened last year. You were one of the worst teams in the league, and those quote-unquote close games against other bad teams, it felt like you were on the wrong side of all of them.
Yeah, that is how it feels. So again, you guys can jump in. Is that an acceptable excuse? 617-779-7937. I think the more acceptable excuse, and again, I don't really fully know what's going on with Christian Gonzalez, but hey, we're missing our best player.
That's true.
And the defense, even though it buttoned things down after Pittsburgh's first couple of drives, at least outside of, you know, the game-winning drive when it really mattered, they seemed to tighten some things up. That, to me, is more acceptable. Like, hey, we don't have Christian Gonzalez. Now, you were still in all these games. You still could have won all of them. And so if you just executed properly and weren't so sloppy with turnovers and penalties, you could have won without Gonzalez. But to me, I'm much closer to that. You haven't had the only blue chipper you have on the entire roster, your best player on the roster. That one to me is more acceptable than we don't have any experience and we need to learn how to win. Diggs was also asked this. This is the tail end of his press scrum, I guess, outside his locker yesterday, Keith. And I believe we cut the question out because a teammate walked over at one point in time and kind of he started joking around in the middle of the answer. But Reese at the very end asks him almost like a planted question. Like, hey, oh, by the way, how difficult has the offseason been? I know you've had a really difficult offseason. How difficult was the offseason for you? And it just felt a little out of place. Here's the Diggs answer.
It was rough for me, you know what I'm saying? I went through a lot in the offseason. I was in like a real dark space for a little while, you know what I'm saying? I had to put myself out of it. I still kind of go through it here and there, but like my life could be a lot worse, you know what I'm saying? I'm blessed. I got a lot to look forward to each and every day. I got some beautiful kids, got a beautiful support system. It's just, you know, I feel like my life ain't that hard. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that go through way worse things and on a daily basis. So for me, I just roll with the punches, you know what I'm saying?
A dark play? What's he talking about?
Well, I think when an athlete is coming off an injury the way they are rehabbing.
So you think he's talking about rehabbing the knee?
I think so. It could be anything. It's pretty open-ended. There's no follow-up there, but I feel like it would be that. I mean, he'd been really healthy his whole career, misses half a season last year, and then it's just working the whole time to get back. I thought you were talking about how busy his Father's Day is going to be next year. I thought that's where that was headed.
Why? He's not talking about the party boat and all that stuff?
I don't think so. I don't think it was really that. Nothing really ended up happening with that. you know, like we talked about it at the time. Mike Vrabel made that comment about like, hey, we need guys doing the right thing. He missed a thing, and then he was there, and then he was there the whole time. So I don't think he was talking about that.
Okay.
You know, the league's not looking into the pink cocaine. There was nothing really. It was like a story, like a lot of things are, for 24, 48 hours.
That blew up.
I think it was more him being like, am I going to ever be the same player that I was?
Interesting.
That's my take.
I mean, he still hasn't been to this point, but rehabbing, I would get that. He said he's in a dark place. Is that, again, you know, his party boat with the pink cocaine?
I don't know.
The Tusi?
Yeah.
As it were? If you search around on the interwebs, there's other wild accusations out there. I don't know if he was referencing that in any way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've caught any of those videos.
So that video I didn't watch. I saw it pop up. Should I watch that? But I saw the other one that was like...
I don't know how much of it's accurate or inaccurate, but I'd give it a view.
Does he have a new four-month-old, and then he also has another lady that he's going to have his baby in addition to Cardi B? Did I read that right?
It's three new children?
Well, that's what I saw.
Oh, okay.
No. So Cardi B's pregnant, as is another former lover of his, according to the internet.
Nice.
And then there's another one that had a baby not too long
ago. 4 months old.
Yeah.
So that's
what I read.
That's a busy father.
Anybody else see that? No. Yeah. That's what I saw on, like, you know, it's the internet, so it could be wrong.
Speaking of D-Glove.
Yeah.
Maybe mix that in.
You see, Cardi B was doing the Call Her Daddy podcast.
No.
Wearing a Steph Diggs jersey.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's wearing a Diggs jersey.
Good for those two.
Yeah, so they
I
seem
think
to
those two
good.
Wild kids are going to make
she
it.
She might even be at the game on Sunday. All seriousness.
She might be. Maybe that's what would turn the tide for the home field advantage.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. 1-0 with Cardi B in the house.
And yeah, her
at that point.
Her and Robert could start dancing again like they've done in the past.
I don't see why not.
It could be like a celebratory dance maybe out at midfield. They could do that.
That'd be excellent.
They really seem to enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what was Diggs referencing there away from the field? You can discuss it, 617-779-7937. I asked you this earlier. One thing I was pleased with Diggs yesterday is I liked all his answers, Keith, about, and they tried to ask a bunch of different ways, about the targets he's gotten, his involvement in the offense. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think targets have gone 7-5-3 or something like that in the first three games. They've gone down as the trend line. The production has gone down. They've lost a couple of games. And a couple of different ways they tried to ask him about, are you getting enough looks? Are you involved enough? Do you want to be more involved? And he gave a great answer about, look, I just try to eat what's on my plate. More plate talk.
I like a good plate talk.
But I try to just eat what's on my plate. He's like, now you put it on my plate, I'm going to eat everything, including the crumbs. So don't expect any crumbs on there.
Nice.
But I can't worry about what others get for opportunity. I just got to do the best that I can with my opportunity. And look, I've been kind of waiting for him to kick and scream and complain about the targets he's getting, and I was pretty satisfied with those answers. I don't know if deep down he really feels that way. His track record at other stops would tell me he probably doesn't really feel that way, but at least coming off a loss and a bad one at that, he's saying the right things, which I wasn't sure he would do.
No, I think he's been 100% answering things the right way. I think he's patient and maybe even more patient than we thought he was going to be. But if you go back to when they signed him, and this is where I view like maybe the, sort of the dark times, was also he's rehabbing. Nobody around the league was really interested. The Patriots were the only team he visited. Remember, they asked him about that?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I was really just here. All the teams wanted me. Like, who? Well,
he's
no,
like,
really
that was my only visit.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, that was the only team. So that probably was pretty shocking to him. And I remember at that time, we were like, I personally like the signing. Maybe he has to start the year on the PUP list, and then he returns, and maybe you get 13 games out of him. Well, he's already played in every game, so maybe he's even thinking, I'm a little ahead of schedule. So, yeah, I don't have that 100-yard game. I don't have a touchdown, but I've played in all three games.
Yeah.
And so that's a good start. But it is going to be one of those things. Just like with the team, if he is putting up, you know, five catches for 50 yards and they win, I think you can keep that up for a while. If it's three catches on three targets for 28 yards and you somehow lose to the Panthers, then I wouldn't blame him for freaking out. At that point, I'd freak out with him.
Three targets isn't enough. I mean, I would actually agree with him on that.
But you also have to win. And right now, they're 1-2. So, like, that's when problems really start to creep up a lot more.
So, the way you just put it is probably fair. I did not think he would, and I was wrong. I didn't think he'd be back in time for week one when we were talking about receivers to sign in the offseason.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to miss 4, 5, 6 games. Easy. So he's already back, so maybe the production is gravy on top of it, but I do want him more involved. I think this week is a good week to do it. You sit down, Pop Douglas, and you give those targets to Steph Diggs, Hunter Henry, focus more of the offense to those two. If you want to throw to Booty and Hollins here and there, go for it. But Ramondre, you're out. Pop, you're out. Efton Chisholm, you're active, but probably not on the field. And so throw to Travion Henderson, throw to those other guys, and that's the offense, at least in the passing game. That's how I do it. Question for you.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously take that call.
Go ahead. All right, let's go to Richard in Salisbury. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Great. Pretty great.
Just want to let you know, because it's been, I guess it's surfaced again, the whole thing about his pink cocaine on the boat. I had actually referenced it back when it happened, and it's kind of it's actually, if you Google African pink salt, it is
Himalayan pink salt.
Salt from,
I know Himalayan
no,
pink salt.
African. Oh,
okay. Hmm.
So the belief is that if you use this salt, it acts like a Viagra for you.
Nice.
I'm thinking maybe I'd like to try me some of that cocaine.
Then what were the ladies doing with it?
Why were they asking?
What do they need?
Why were they asking for some of it?
What is that going to do to them?
I don't know.
That's throw off the whole
very
balance.
Good question. I'll have to do some research on that. Mark in Warwick, hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's pretty great.
So I know you guys were mentioning the veterans and stuff that they picked up and everything like that, and I believe that the biggest thing that's hurting the team, not only besides the Ramondre Stevenson issues, but these veterans don't bring culture to the team as, like, a true veteran should. I feel like the locker room is just dead. I feel like there's more issues in the locker room than a team building aspect. And I don't think it's allowing some of these young guys who can fit in these roles to make an impact.
What issues in the locker room are you referring to? What issues are you talking about?
He said he thinks there are some.
Like with Diggs and stuff like that. Just
I don't think Diggs.
If it's not in the locker room.
I don't think Diggs is a problem at all.
Not yet. He tends to be wherever he goes.
No,
but
I'm not saying it won't be. I'm saying right now I don't think he is. I think the locker room's
who would
fine.
You, if there's no culture, and I'll be honest, I don't really know. They're not winning, and they're sloppy. I'll agree with all those things. I don't know if they have a good culture or not. If they don't have a good culture, and we get like halfway through the year, and we're like, boy, they have a culture problem, who do we blame for that?
Vrabel. Yeah.
Last year we were blaming Mayo.
Yeah.
And I think we were right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This year, if that happens again, it's Vrabel. I'm not going to – I mean, the players are obviously on the list. But Vrabel, you pick the players.
I don't think they have any.
You're in charge of the team. If they have a bad culture, that's Vrabel.
No, their issues right now are turnovers, penalties, and missed tackles. I don't think there's anything like somebody like they don't have a Rafael Devers on the team.
Nope, I don't think.
I don't. Well, no, not that we have been made aware of.
Good news, by the way, Keith. They never practice in pads, and today they are because it's a little. It's a little bit rainy out there.
It is a little wet.
They are practicing indoors today.
Good.
So that'll be good. I'm sure.
No helmets, probably.
That'll get them back to exactly what they need to do.
A little touch football indoors. That's good.
You know,
that'll help the team.
You have a fumbling problem. Why practice outside in the rain?
Why
would you do that?
I wouldn't be slippery.
Stay inside where it's dry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where the game will be on Sunday.
Right, yeah.
Guys, we're moving the game in the bubble.
So it's a little bit rainy out there. And I know everybody freaks out when they get on the roads.
Yeah.
We all have to drive 20 miles an hour when there's some rain on the
road. When Bill Belichick was here, he'd have big buckets of water. He'd dump the balls in there, get them all wet. Now, they've gone soft.
617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. You can also jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. They'll talk to Tommy Curran at 3:30 today, so stay tuned for it. We'll get you the clip du jour. And
it's time for Grab Bag.
My name is Grab. Grab Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. WEEI Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Boston Red Sox could clinch a playoff spot with a win tonight. However, they may clinch a playoff spot even before they take the field. All they need is a Houston Astros loss to the Sacramento Athletics this afternoon. First pitch there, 3:35, at least local time, 3:35. Valdez versus Ginn. The Astros have been dropping games like flies.
Ginn pitched real well against the Red Sox last time.
JT Ginn?
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, JT Ginn. So will they need to win tonight?
So maybe. Yeah. What do you want? Do you want them to? I'd like them to win their own way in.
Win their way in. Then you can really have a celebration. Because it's so anticlimactic. If they are automatically in and then they lose, you still want to celebrate, but it's like we just lost.
Right.
So I would want to win as well. Brian Baio on the mound versus Lewis Varland. So get ready for that. He's an opener.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't that guy just pitch out of the bullpen earlier in the series?
He sure did.
Okay, so
opportunity for the big time.
Okay,
well,
great.
Now they have Barrios pitching out of the bullpen.
He pitched out of the bullpen last night. Yeah, he gave up the tater to Narvaez. Yeah. So I
Sox are plus 120.
Oh, that is buying opportunity?
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe I'll parlay that with my Julio Rod steal.
Yeah.
But
Red Sox not hitting.
When it comes to Baio, though, it'd be nice for Baio to get like a strong one under his belt going into the postseason too.
That's
so hopefully,
true.
Hopefully they can do that.
This will be his last start before the postseason. So yeah, he's 11-8 with a 3.34. 7:07 first pitch, 6:07 pregame here on WEEI.
Every day that I am making
Grab Bag.
Nick, if you don't mind, let's go to the uniform police.
You ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keefe, Fashion Police.
Celtics posted this one. This year's City Edition jersey for the Boston Celtics.
These have been like a roller coaster ride in the past with the Celtics.
They have. So let's take a look. They say it's a nod to our timeless tradition of winning.
Yeah, Brian, put that up on YouTube.
Yeah, Brian, fire that bad boy up. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see what we're looking at here. They've taken a jersey on a hanger and placed it in a library with many leather-bound books.
So you know what? I didn't even notice that. You think there's a meaning behind that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a white jersey with gold letters. It says Boston and giant gold letters outlined in black.
I was going to say, the trim is not green if you're looking at it.
There's
it's a little
no
hard
green,
to see.
There's no green in it.
So there's no green on the uniform? That said, I don't care. I like these.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah, somebody says on the Twitter responses, it looks like the Colorado Buffaloes. You're going to be able to pull up a Derek White in college uniform and put it side by side.
That's a nice one. I'll go, I think I'm going to be a lot higher than you. 82? I like these.
See, I really like green. I think the Celtics have a really good color, and I'm good with different variations
of it.
There's that one dude that's on Twitter that does like a different jersey for every win, and they're all better than this one.
Okay, well, that might be true, but you love the Red Sox greens.
I just said I love green.
No, but I'm saying, you're saying you like the Celtics green.
But the Red Sox don't have green
maybe,
in there.
No, but the green monster.
No, maybe I'm misinterpreting what you're saying. Oh. I thought you were saying you didn't want them to really change away because they normally wear green.
No. What I mean is like,
like the color green.
You already
green.
Have a good color, so you can do a variation with green.
Anything in green, you like. Okay, I misunderstood what you were saying.
And I don't really care for like gold and white and like what gold on white.
Like, I like that.
I don't care for it. I'm going to go with let's see.
I went 82.
You went 82 for that?
Yeah. That's nice.
I'll go 37.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that might be
the biggest swing that we've had.
That might be the largest gap.
Yeah.
Could be.
From my point of view, the
Grab Bag.
Are evil. Well, then you are lost.
The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, up to 60 bombs.
Wow.
60 home run season.
Oh, man. I should have had this ready to go.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I think there's only 10 60 home run seasons in baseball history. I gotta get the number for you right here.
Okay,
let me track it down.
Okay,
but the list is it's an impressive list of individuals.
I will tell you what the list is.
Oh, good.
It is Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, who did it a few times, as did McGwire, Aaron Judge, Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, Cal Raleigh.
So again, so there some players on that list did it multiple times. I think there's been 10 seasons where it happened.
Right, 10 seasons, but McGwire did it twice, Sosa did it three times.
That's a good list.
Sosa's a good player. Put him in the hall.
The big dumper. Dumper.
Which, by the way, people were asking for this earlier today. I think Kyle on Twitter was asked. It's been a while since we've updated the dong pool standings. But that is a runaway victory for Terp.
Terp,
mainly because he stole the big dumper from Nick.
But what a flourish, not to give away best baseball performer from last night, but Kyle Schwarber homered twice, Aaron Judge homered twice, Cal Raleigh homered twice yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
But Nick, it's really, we should blame Nick.
I blame Nick.
Nick is, it's like leaving your playbook in the locker room.
Terp wasn't even here.
What's Terp supposed to do? Not pick up the playbook?
You wouldn't shut up about Cal Raleigh.
Yeah,
Terp wasn't here.
Big dumper this and big dumper that. He just wouldn't stop talking about
it. He must have heard it somewhere.
No one to blame but yourself on that one.
Grab bag.
All right, we're still on 40-40 watch for Juan Soto, who added a home run last night, but he already had over 40 home runs. He's still four steals shy. That's going to be tough to get to. 30-30 watch, also not a lot of movement. Pete Crow Armstrong, believe it or not, still stuck at 29-35. Francisco Lindor, 29-31, needs one home run.
So I don't necessarily want to bet that.
Trevor Story needs five home runs. Randy Rosarena needs three home runs, two steals. Julio Rod homered, which I don't think he needed.
Nope.
He already had the 30. He needs two steals, though.
Yeah. I hope they're aware of that. I should start tweeting at them. But I'm going to bet him again. I'm going to bet him every day until the end of the year.
While we're talking wild stats.
Last night he was plus 425.
Do you want to hear another wild
stat?
Yes. So we mentioned Corbin Carroll before.
Yep.
How he's already in the 30-30 club. Mm-hmm. He also has an opportunity to be in the 30-30-20-30 club.
I'm sorry? 30-30-20? Is that like triples and doubles?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah, baby.
20 triples.
He is three. He needs three triples
to
get to that number.
But
he already has over 30 homers, over 30 steals, over 30 doubles.
Who's in that club?
Jimmy Rollins.
30-30-20-30. Just J-Roll?
Yep. J-Roll went 30-40-20-30.
All right, we should have been looking at all week.
Just
we should
saying.
Have been on top of this. All right, so Corbin Carroll triple? I could probably bet that.
All right. May I introduce to you a new unit of money measurement on the show?
Okay.
I know
these are usually very organic. This is.
Well, okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We have a Cirillo, $9.
Yeah.
A ham, $10. Uh-huh. A PS5 is $500. And a Lego Star Wars
Death Star.
Death Star. A Lego Death Star is $1,000.
Gee.
Sold at auction for $1.15 million was Tony Hawk's skateboard where he pulled off the 900. So may I suggest $1.15 million being a Tony Hawk skateboard.
Now, look, I'm not super well versed. I'll allow it.
Thank you.
I'm not super well versed.
It was unbelievable.
In the skating community, this isn't like a Ted Williams red seat situation, right? Like
no, he did it in front of people.
Okay,
you can
good.
Pull it up on YouTube and watch it right now. It was unbelievable. The place went nuts through the skateboard
I
the crowd.
People wait until, I was about to say 2 o'clock. I don't really know what time to turn off the WEEI YouTube, but certainly don't do it before 2.
So the Patriots just sold for 720 Tony Hawk skateboards?
Yes. Well, no.
Wait,
I don't know.
Well, no,
they sold part of their club. Like,
Just take your win on the squirrel tail over there and back off for a little bit. I'm losing.
So anytime something is
what is it again? 1.15.
$1.15 million.
That's a Tony Hawk 900 skateboard.
Yep.
How do we?
He did the
it
900. That's three
very,
rotations.
That's very,
or two and a half rotations.
It's very wordy, though.
360.
The skateboard where he pulled off the 900. That's
we'll
how
just
we say
call
it.
But we'll know which one we're talking about. Like the Tony Hawk skateboard.
Tony Hawk skateboard. Okay, good.
You could win a Tony Hawk skateboard.
All right, nice.
Specifically from the time he pulled off the 900, I think at the X Games.
It was awesome. It was a moment.
What do you do with that? He's hanging on the wall?
Conversation piece.
And
people come over and they go, "What? Hey,
I don't
that?
Think I'd skate with it. I don't think I'd take
you
it
try
out.
900 with it.
You'd put it somewhere. I think like any other memorabilia. Like what would you do with like a home run ball or
safe.
You put it in a safe?
Yeah, pop that in a safe. I don't want anybody
I
taking
put
that.
Put the skateboard in the safe
then. Well, it's not much of a conversation piece.
Two pints of booze. Tell me, are you
grab bag?
Are you
grab bag?
All right, ESPN came up with their list of top 10 NBA players for the upcoming season.
Oh, I hadn't seen the top 10. I had seen 50 through 11. I hadn't seen the top 10. Okay.
So they actually did the top 100, but they didn't put Jason Tatum in there anywhere because they didn't really know how to grade him. Just like Halliburton's not on the list anywhere.
Yeah,
like some of the injured guys aren't
on
there.
He's not playing. He shouldn't be on the list.
All right, do I guess the top 10?
Ooh, do I want to guess the top 10?
Yeah, guess the top 10.
I mean, SGA?
He's number 2.
Steph?
Steph Curry is on the list. He is number 7.
It's ESPN, so probably LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's number 8.
Seven.
Okay. Luka.
Luka is number 3.
Jokic.
Jokic is number 1.
You said no Tatum.
No.
I wasn't prepared for this. Who else am I missing?
You never know when the pop quiz comes up.
I only got
Wouldn't
5.
Wouldn't be a pop quiz if I told you when it was.
I only got 5. Who else am I missing?
Giannis is 4. Wembanyama, 5. Anthony Edwards is 6. Durant is 9th.
Yeah.
Seems way too high. And Jalen Brunson got 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe Jalen Brown checked in at 19 and Derek White at 26. Those are the only Celtics on the list.
Grab bag.
All right. It was a Red Sox win last night. So you know what that means. Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Hogdale, call nice. Of the night.
1-2, lifting right center field from Narvaez. This is carrying, going back. It's in the stands. Carlos Narvaez, Dozyard, puts the Sox up 7-0. And man, that's the dagger. This game is capital O over. The captain, man.
Hog.
Good call by the Hog, man.
I'm looking forward to some postseason Hog tail calls.
Yeah, me too. Me too. nothing like some October Hog.
That's what I've always said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a little cooler in the air.
And the world's going to know your name. Alexander.
Grab bag.
My name is Alexander.
Grab bag. Do you want your daily Rafael Devers update? Well,
no.
You're going to get it.
There it is.
He's eliminated from the playoffs.
We kind of gave it earlier
today. They're
eliminated
from the playoffs. They're not making
the
playoffs.
He did homer.
Great.
He did homer, but they're worse with him, and the Red Sox are
better without him. But Jones, was he one of the top baseball performers from Wednesday, September 24th? Your finalists. Edmundo Sosa, 3-for-4. 3 home runs,
oh, wow.
5 RBI.
Okay, probably. Yep. Didn't realize that. Okay.
Aaron Judge, 3-for-4, 2 home runs, 4 RBI. Kyle Schwarber, 4-for-5, 2 home runs.
Uh-huh.
Cal Raleigh, 3-for-5, 2 home runs, joins the 60-homer club.
That's nice.
Luis Castillo, 7 1/3, 1 earned run, 10 Ks. Or Garrett Crochet, 8 scoreless with 6 Ks.
Look, big outing from Crochet. I know the dumper got the 60. Edmund Sosa?
Edmundo
Sosa. That's
Edmundo
the pick.
Sosa.
3 homers.
3 bombs.
I'm not sneezing at that.
Holy smokes.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we have a baseball player who had 15 years in the bigs,
okay.
And he pitched for Toronto, as well as Texas, the Mets, Twins, Mariners, and Braves. He is a one-time All-Star,
okay.
One-time Gold Glove winner,
ooh.
And one-time Cy Young Award winner.
Also, Ari Dickey.
He got it!
All right, big week for the show guessing this. Billy got one,
that?
Nick got the one. I haven't gotten anything, but good job by those two. Wow, Ari Dickey right away.
Yeah, good one.
Huh?
Won the Cy Young with the Mets, and then the next year he was with the Blue Jays, and he was not good with them, despite winning the Gold Glove.
He had like a fast knuckleball.
Yeah, oh yeah,
it wasn't
get
like
up
a,
on you.
It wasn't like yep. It was like a cool knuckleball. It wasn't like a regular knuckleball. It was
no,
a cool knuckleball.
It was pretty sick. Yeah, he threw 233 2/3 innings his Cy Young year. 233 innings.
Yeah, but it was a knuckleball. No stress. Even a fast knuckleball.
No stress.
Still, no real stress on you
still,
on the arm there.
But he pitched a gem. A one-time. How about that? He wins the Cy Young in his only All-Star season and was just average every year before and after.
This is like.
He was pretty horrible to start his career.
Well, okay,
he was awful.
This is like when you're dominant in New York, you could be a flash in the pan and you're just a huge, huge star. Like Linsanity.
Yep.
And like R.A. Dickey. Like he was a megastar when he was
Mike
in the
White.
Mets for like a year. And then,
no, I know. Yeah,
and,
was
but because
deal.
It was New York, you think back and you're like, oh, he must have had like a 5-year run. Nope.
How many Tony Hawk skateboards do you think he earned in his career?
Oh.
7!
No. More than that. 50.
57. 57.6 million in
nice.
The career of R.A. Dickey.
And together, we got it right.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true.
Good point. Yeah. So there you go. Random ball player each and every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keith. Great job by Nick there. Stay tuned. You got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. And you got Ted. Plus Tommy Curran at 3:30. We'll wrap things up with Clip du Jour next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's time now for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I am so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, we got the news that Robert Kraft selling part of the Patriots. About 8% of the Patriots have been sold. Two different groups. One's getting 5%, one's getting 3%. The group getting 5%, a direct line to the Playboy Mansion.
How about that?
Yeah.
Although Ken beelined right in and was like, there's a very interesting fact about
very knowledgeable
Dean about Metropolis. Yeah, it's almost like he knew it off the top of his head.
Uh-huh.
He's like, isn't he the guy who his kids bought the Playboy Mansion?
How is that something you would know? The Playboy Mansion, by all accounts,
which, by the way, Ken nailed it.
He was right.
His sons, Evan and Darren Metropolis, the Metropoli boys, purchased the Playboy Mansion for $100 million in 2016. I'd be curious what else came in that agreement. What else comes along with $100 million? Some robes?
Oh, you probably get a few robes. A
couple of robes, cigars.
James Caan. And probably like a venereal disease would be my guess.
Yeah.
I bet you get a... Yeah. I wouldn't want it. To me, it's a poor investment, but listen, I'm not going to tell the Metropolis how to spend their money.
If I bought that first purchase after I buy the Playboy Mansion carpet steamer.
You get one of the three bunnies.
The inspector comes through. He's looking at the roof. He's like, take a look. Get a blue light in here. what's going on in this place?
Yikes.
Black as the YouTube.
Black light, not a blue light. Yeah, you don't want a blue light.
Black light, not a blue light.
It is just... They have a lot of money. They have a lot of money to spend. Maybe he has big ideas for the Playboy Mansion. It seems like they should just let that thing go.
Yeah.
That should have been buried with Hugh Hefner, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Make it like a museum.
A lot of cool parties, evidently, out there.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the later years. I feel like that was more probably hit its heyday about 50, 60 years ago.
Correct. Well, there you go. That's the clip du jour. The crossover, WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You got to try the new burgers at the Nines, like the new Bourbon Onion Burger. Their half-pound, 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. You got to love the Nines. Andy Hart, what's coming up on the show today?
We got Tom Curran, 3:30, 4:30, Gary Myers to talk about his book, Belichick versus Brady.
I go Brady.
One's settled.
Yeah, I go Brady, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that one's getting...
It's ongoing.
Yeah.
What if Belichick wins a national title?
What if
Stick Brady. With me here.
What if he makes it to a second season in North Carolina?
Yeah. What if he has a 500 record and doesn't lose to crappy teams? We'll obviously be talking a little bit about this whole investment in the Patriots. I know immediately people are like, why couldn't Tom Brady be the person you sold a small share to?
Well, I don't appreciate that voice. That's what we were saying.
That sounds like you.
Sounds like us.
You know, a hot take here, and I'll get, I don't want Tom Brady.
Wow.
Based on the way Tom Brady is lately.
I guess that's why you're having Gary Myers on.
Did you read his newsletter? Did you read his freaking newsletter where he blamed the whole world?
Oh, yeah, I read that part.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I don't subscribe.
You want that Tom Brady involved with your Patriots?
That's just what he is. Yeah, no, I do.
It's pretty face. He can't just be a pretty face. He has to like talk and then text and do different things.
Yeah, now we got the owner of the Playboy Mansion to take over. I'd rather have him.
That's not great.
Tom Brady or Dean Metropolis? Hart, I'll take Brady.
Metropolis is a cool name.
While you're at
it's a fake name.
Google the Metropoli kids. The picture, you're going to gasp when you get the picture, one of the hairdos. Anyway, okay. So you're out on Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. I've been out on Tom Brady for a while. If you sort of pay attention, he's very unlikable.
Oh, if he wasn't a Patriot, he'd be one of the least liked people in sports around here. But because he was here,
that seems like a relevant.
But now he's just a
detail.
No, it is.
But yeah,
he's started winning games for you. So I liked the wins you brought.
Yeah.
Now move on and go away.
Okay.
Kind of like Belichick. You guys did a great job. Now you're both very unlikable. Just go away.
Comes your way today on WEEI Afternoon. Stay tuned for it. You can dial them up 617-779-7937. We are back tomorrow, Keith, with a Top 5 Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The Friday 4-Pack. Week in Review. Patriots Friday, which means we got Milt Williams. And don't forget him.
keys.
The keys to Pats and Panthers. Keys, keys. That's all coming up tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.